Hi folks, this is Bart from BartB.ie, back again for part 15 of my Introduction to the Terminal series here on the Typical Mac User Podcast. Since this is the first time I've spoken to you this year, I just want to take a moment to wish you all a very happy new year. I hope you all had a wonderful holiday season, and I'd like to wish you all the very best for 2009. Now, if you remember from last year, which sounds a lot longer ago than it is, of course, we were talking about network commands, and we had discussed we discussed the theory of networking, you know, what subnets are, what IP addresses are, what routing is, all that kind of cool stuff. Then we talked about the ifconfig command for basically showing you the basic network setup of your Mac, you know, what network devices you have, which ones are turned on, what their MAC addresses are, and which IP addresses they have, and what their netmask is, so that you can know what the IP range is of the local area network. Now, the reason I've been teaching you this is where I'm heading to, which is a little step that I do whenever I'm asked to debug someone's internet problems. I always start with the ifconfig command just to double check that they actually have a network connection at all to their local area network, because if you're not actually connected to your LAN, you're very unlikely to get out to the internet through your router. You know, if you can't see the router, you're not going to get there. So that's always my step one, just to make sure that everything's hunky-dory by running ifconfig, checking, you know, devices are turned on, devices have, you know, are active, and devices have an IP address and a netmask, and then I take a note of what the IP address and the netmask are, so that I know what traffic is LAN traffic and what traffic is router traffic, as in not LAN traffic. Remember, everything that's not on your local area network has to be given to your router, which will then deal with it. So you need to just know your netmask and your IP address so that you know what is and isn't local traffic. If you don't remember what IP addresses, netmask, and all those kind of things are, I would suggest that you go back a few shows to the one where we talk about that. Just otherwise, this probably isn't going to make quite as much sense as it could otherwise. I'm sort of assuming people have been keeping up with me because no one sent me emails to say that they're horribly lost. If you are horribly lost and you'd really like me to go back over and explain something else, hey, I'm perfectly happy to. Just, you know, take time, give me some feedback. Always love to hear it. But anyway, from here on in, I'm going to assume that you're familiar with IP addresses, routers, subnet masks, that kind of theory, basic IP stuff. So I just want to go a little further. So, you know, someone has said, oh, my internet's broken, will you come and fix it? Step one, run ifconfig, get the network details out. Step two, you want to make sure that you have clean communication to your router. And the first thing to check is that your Mac has the correct IDU in its head as to who your router is. Because if your Mac thinks your router is an entirely different IP address to what your router actually is, then, of course, you're never going to get out to the internet because the traffic is simply going into the ether. It's not getting to your router, so it isn't getting routed, so it's never making it to the internet. So, how do we figure out what our Mac thinks is the router? The answer is, well, it's one of many answers that is given to us by the netstat command, but we use netstat, and we use netstat with the flag minus or, which stands for routing, and that will print out our machine's entire routing table. This is quite a lot of information. A lot of it is daunting, scary, nasty technical stuff, and completely irrelevant. I'm just going to talk about the actual important bit of information that's in there, and it's easy to pluck out, and then you have it. Okay. Now, I should say netstat is an exceptionally powerful command. You know, I always think of it in my head as something for network statistics, and pretty much, if your machine is doing it on the network, then netstat can probably tell you something about it. So we're going to come back to it over and over again, but today I'm just going to give you one instance of how you can use netstat. So you type netstat space minus or, and then hit return. And that will give you your two routing tables. However, that does a little bit more than we'd like it to do. You know, netstat tries to be helpful. And instead of printing out IP addresses, netstat will try to do a DNS lookup to convert all the IP addresses it sees into nice Englishy-looking host names. Ordinarily, this is a good thing. But right now, we're trying to keep things simple, and we're still debugging at an IP level. So we really don't want it doing that. So we need to tell it, no, don't do that. Normally it's helpful, but right now it isn't. And the flag we use for that is the N flag, which in my head anyway stands for no lookups. So netstat space minus or N. So, give me the routing table with no lookups. This will print out it was quite a bit of data, so the first thing it will say is, you know, routing tables, and then new line, then it'll say internet colon, then on the next line it'll give you a bunch of column headers, destination, gateway, flags, refs, use, net, if, expire. Then it will give you a whole load of rows of data, then it'll give you a blank line, then it'll say internet 6 colon, give you the same column headers again, and give you some more data. Now, Internet 6 is IPv6. I've been saying all along that I'm ignoring IPv6 because it's just not something that's in use by home users. So we're going to continue that trend and we're going to ignore Internet 6. So that entire chunk you can just wipe out from your mind. We're going to cut things down a little further because we're only interested in the destination and gateway columns. So all the other stuff you can wipe out mentally as well and ignore too. So, then that leaves us with two columns and a couple of rows. Quite a few rows, probably, and a lot of them going to look complicated and ick. Actually, we can delete all of those rows mentally as well. All we're interested in is the row that starts with the word default, because that's your default gateway. So it'll say default tab some IP address. That IP address is where your machine thinks the router is. Now, on a Mac where you have multiple network cards that are on at the same time, you have to mentally undelete the second last column that says NETIF, which stands for network interface, and that will say the name of the network interface it's using to try contact the internet. It will be one or the other. So its default will be either Ethernet or Wi-Fi if you have them both plugged in. Often it's a good idea not to do that, because that gives your Mac the opportunity for confusion, whereas if you only have one network device, you clearly don't have that opportunity. But, you know, it may be interesting to know whether it's defaulting to the wireless or whether it's defaulting to the Ethernet. Okay, so now you have the IP address of the router, so you want to verify that you have a clean channel of communication to the router. And here we come across another command, which is our second and last command of the day, and that's the command ping. Now, this is very much, you know, sort of named after submarines. So if a submarine wants to see what's ahead of it, it sends out a ping, a loud noise, and then that ping travels through the water, hits off a rock or a mountain or another submarine or a torpedo coming towards you, who knows, and it bounces back to you, and then you get it back again, and that tells you something about what's around you. Well, the network ping command is somewhat similar, although it doesn't involve submarines or torpedoes or anything like that. What ping does is it simply sends out a special packet. It's something called an ICMP packet. We'll not get into the nasty details. It sends it off to the network with a listed target of who it's trying to ping, and then it makes its way through the network, hits the target. The target is then obliged to return the ping, to bounce it back. And then it gets back to your machine, and then your machine has put sequence numbers in it and stuff, so it knows some information about, you know, which one you're applying to, basically, and it can use that to build up information on your network. Basically, how, you know, are you getting stuff over and back to the IP address you're testing, and how long does it take? So, the command is very simple. It's ping, P-I-N-G, space, an IP address. Now, you could also put in a DNS name here, but for now, I want to keep things DNS-free. I want to keep it entirely down to IP addresses only. So, ping, space, and then whatever your default router is. In my case, it'd be 192.168.2.1. And when you do that, you're going to start seeing rows and rows of data flowing by, hopefully. If you don't see any data flowing by, it means that you're actually not getting any pings back, because they get printed out when they come back to you, not when they're sent out. You leave that run for a while, either you do or don't see data, and then when you think you've, you know, let it run for maybe 10-15 seconds, at that stage you've collected enough data, you type Control-C, and that will kill the process, because it's going to keep pinging forever if you don't do that, and it will not stop. On Windows, there's also a ping command. It'll ping four times and then stop automatically. On the Mac, ping isn't like that. It doesn't stop. It keeps going until you tell it to stop. So Control-C tells it to stop. At that point, it will print out two lines of summary. So the first thing it will say is how many packets it transmitted. So in my case, it says 28 packets transmitted, comma, how many packets it received. In my case, 28 packets received, comma, and then the percentage packet loss. In my case, thankfully, 0% packet loss. If on your local area network you see any number other than zero, you have a problem. You should simply never have packet loss in your local area network. If you do, maybe it's that your Wi-Fi signal is getting interference, maybe it's that someone has stood on your Ethernet and has damaged the cabling, but there is something wrong if you get anything other than a 0% packet loss on your LAN. You can have packet loss out to the internet. That sort of happens when ISPs get busy and congested, when servers get overloaded, that kind of thing. I mean, you see packet loss in the real world from time to time, and it's not the end of the world. But in your LAN, it just should not be there, and if it is, you just know you're in for a world of pain. So cross your fingers and hope you see zero there. If you don't see zero there, you know you have some more debugging to do. You have a problem. The second line then gives you an idea of times. So it says round trip, and then it says min slash average has max slash standard deviation equals, and then you get one number slash another number slash another number slash another number, and then the units. The units you should see on the end of that are milliseconds, MS. If you don't see MS, it means that there's something wrong. If you see S for seconds, okay, definitely something wrong. The round-trip times within your local area network should be fractions of a millisecond. In my case here, it's 0.276 was the minimum, 0.314 was the maximum. The average was 0.314, and the maximum was 0.666. Standard deviation of 0.099. They're accepted reasonable numbers. If you're getting much bigger than that, you have a problem as well. Hopefully, at this stage, you've established that your local area network is fully functional. You know, if you've managed to get the routing address, you've managed to ping it successfully, at that stage you can be pretty confident that the LAN is working. And if they're having trouble connecting to the internet, then it's a problem between the router and the outside world. In other words, it's probably time to call your ISP. Now, there is one more test I usually do before I call my ISP. And that's, I try to push things a little further, and I'm going to leave it here for now because I've been going for 10 minutes and I think that's more than anyone can stand of me at any one time. So next week we're going to take up the story from we've successfully contacted a router but yet we can't see the internet and see where I would take things from there. So I'm going to leave it here for now, and until next time, happy computing.